Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Tim Taylor, singer, songwriter, now living in Nashville, has enjoyed great success as a performer and songwriter. He received 3 Juno nominations as a male vocalist and has won several CCMA awards. His songs have been recorded by Thomas Wade, Aaron Prichette, Jason McCoy, Gil Grand, Gord Bamford, and the Good Brothers, to name just several. He writes regularly with up-and-coming country artists like Tennille, J.J. Voss, and No Limits, among others. Tim is here to talk about his music career, songwriting, and his brand new album, Music from Big Beige, his first new album in 20 years. My pleasure now to welcome him to the show. Hey, Tim.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing just great. How about yourself?
Very well, thanks. It's a pleasure to be on the show with you.
Well, it's great to have you here. You were here once a couple years back, and we touched on stuff that was going on in that time. Now we've got a new album to talk about and a couple of songs from it to play, and great things. Let's get started with, first of all, the album. The first one in 20 years, not only that, but, I mean, you co-wrote all the songs, wrote some of them by yourself. Plus,
right.
I understand, you did all the instruments on it as well.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was just a fun side project for me. I have all the equipment, and I play all the instruments, and I have a little recording set up here at home. So, I had a bunch of tunes that I was interested in recording for myself as opposed to pitching to other artists. So, I finally, you know, got off my lazy you-know-what and got around to it. So it was a lot of fun.
And it's Music from Big Beige, which is Big Beige Studios. I guess, is that your home studio?
Yes, it is. I was trying to do a little takeoff on the album titled Music from Big Pink that the band did a long time ago in their Big Pink studio in Woodstock, New York. And I've got my Big Beige house here, so that's what I thought I would call it. And I thought that was kind of funny, and then I find out not too many people remember the other albums.
So now you've got to explain it.
Yes, exactly.
And the picture on the cover, I understand, taken by Sophie Taylor. Now, you're reflecting there. You're looking out your window, and you're thinking on something. Can you share with us what you're thinking, or are you deep in the songwriting process?
I don't know what I was thinking. I think I was just checking out the neighbors. No, Sophie's my daughter. She's 12, and it's a very organic project all around. And so, like you said, I play all the instruments and wrote 4 of the songs by myself and 2 with co-writers. But so when it came time for a cover picture, I just got my daughter to get her little camera out, and and she took that picture, and I really liked the colors and stuff. So we just went with that.
Yeah. And another great artist who is part of the package design, of course, I recognize the name Riley Madison. So she put together the graphics and so forth on it.
She sure did, and she did a wonderful job. Riley, as you know, is she's probably been a guest. She's a talented singer-songwriter, and she's talented in a lot of ways, and one of them is she can do the graphics and stuff like that. So I thought I would ask her to do that for me, and I'm really tickled with what she came up with.
Nice. Now, one of the songs on here I recognized, and a lot of our listeners would when they hear the CD, is Couple on the Cake, written by you and Steve Fox. And Steve and Beverly Mahood did the song as a duet. And I remember the song being out, and also the video was quite funny with the two of them. And Leslie Nielsen was in it as a priest.
Yeah, it was. It was a great version of the song that they did. It was several years ago, and they changed, I don't know, I guess they changed it into a duet. I don't know if we originally wrote it as a duet or what, but they did it as a duet, and they did, like you mentioned, that great video. And and it's just a song that I occasionally play when I do writers' nights and stuff down here, and gets a good response as a solo song, and that's why I put it on there. But if anybody's interested in seeing their video of it, there's a link to it on my website, so they can, that'll shoot them over to YouTube, and they can see Steve and Beverly doing the song.
Nice. Now, a couple of the songs that our listeners will recognize that you were at a hand in writing. One was the CCMA Independent Song of the Year, She's Getting Serious, that you and Thomas Wade wrote. What was that experience like?
Well, that was a lot of fun. Thomas was When I used to first started writing, I wrote mostly by myself, as most, I guess, a lot of people do. And one of my first co-writers was Thomas, and it was a really nice venture when we started writing together because we really clicked. So, you know, to this day, when we get the chance, we still write. He's in, you know, outside of Toronto, and I'm down here. So it's not as frequently as we'd like, but we do still get to write a little bit. And She's Getting Serious is a song we wrote one day, and he likes to remind me that my original title for the song is She's Turning Practical, which was didn't have a good ring to it. So we changed it to She's Getting Serious.
I remember he was actually on the show telling that story. And
oh, really?
Prior to the show, I grabbed a bit of the quote, which I'm going to play a bit later, of Thomas. He talks about the practical and how that wasn't too singable. But he also talks about my imagination is running away with you and writing that with you. So I'm going to share that a bit later on the show. We'll hear Thomas share that. Yeah, and also you, Aaron Prichette, British Columbia Country Music Association Song of the Year for "Done You Wrong," which is a great
song.
Yeah,
that was a great experience to write with Aaron and Mitch Merritt, who was his partner manager at that time. They used to come down and we'd write, and they had already had some success with a song that I wrote with Derek Rattan called "My Way" that Aaron had as a single. And so when they came around to doing "Done You Wrong," you know, to get to write it with the artist with Aaron was wonderful. And then it got that British Columbia Award. That was really a nice thing. So that was that's one of the highlights of my writing career.
Another highlight, I'm sure, must be, you touched on it earlier, the experience of when you're sharing songs up on stage, and whether it's a new song or maybe an old one that you're reworking a bit or just doing acoustically, what's that like for you, Tim, when you're sharing, say, a new song for the first time in whatever venue?
Well, it's fun, you know, usually because when a song is new, you're hot on it yourself, you're really enjoying it, so
right.
You're looking forward to seeing what kind of a reaction it gets, and so it can be a bit of a, you know, a gauge of whether people are going to enjoy the song or not, to get up there and do it in that situation where it's just a voice and an acoustic guitar, you know, bare bones like that. So I always enjoy doing that. When I go out and do these writers' nights down here, music and, you know, songwriters in the round kind of things that they do a lot here in Nashville, I like to do some that have always got a good reaction, and then I'll throw in a couple new ones just to see how they work out.
And you've done, as I mentioned off the top, quite a bit of songwriting with artists, especially from Canada, who venture down to Nashville to write with you. And several of them I've interviewed, Tennille, J.J. Voss, No Limits, who haven't been on the show yet, but I know that you work with both of them. So maybe I'll start with Tennille, because you've written a couple songs with her, and they've been really great songs. I think one was Pictures on a Crooked Wall.
Yeah, that was the first song we wrote. Tennille and I wrote that with Dana Blayon from No Limits. And I actually went up to do a songwriter's workshop in Peace River, and that's when I met Tennille. And we had about a day after the workshop was over before I had to fly back home. And Tennille and Dana and I got together and wrote Pictures on a Crooked Wall. I still love that song, and it's just a wonderful video they did. Very moving video, so that was a real honor to do that. And I know Tennille has just released her most recent CD, and I'm pleased that I have a song on there too. So it's one called Maple Grove Road. So whenever I get a chance to work with Tennille, it's always a pleasure because she's such a talented young lady, as you know, and she's got
so
a wonderful
positive
family. Yeah, so positive. We've got to know her family and everything. So it's a great thing when something like that happens.
It must be great you're working with somebody young in that case and so new to songwriting. So it gives you a chance, I guess, to pass on what you've learned and maybe, you know, develop them as a songwriter because they're new at it at that point.
Well, I've been doing it for a long time now, so a lot of times when I am writing with young artists and a good portion of what I do is write with young artists that are just getting started. I think that happens, you know, to be a case. There's a little bit of mentoring involved, but of course, yeah. I get involved in their energy and their enthusiasm. So it's definitely a two-way street. Yeah, I really enjoy that. Yes.
Now, what about J.J. Voss? He has been on the show, as I mentioned, and what have you written with him? How's that been?
Well, I really like J.J.'s style. He's got a really neat approach to music, and he's a very, I hate to use the word artistic, but he's got a really good sense about him, and we wrote a song called Pride Thing that was a single for him. His recent CD, I think there was three songs that he and I wrote, a couple of them with a third co-writer named Sean Christian, a friend of ours. So Pride Thing was one, and we wrote one called Bare Bones, I think was also a single. And we wrote one called Breaking Things, about breaking your guitar, which I don't recommend, but it was a good song, and it was fun to write.
Yeah, I love the title of his album, Show 'em Who's Voss.
Exactly.
So clever.
Yeah,
what about working with No Limits?
No Limits. Well, I guess I first met them at like many other people at the CCMAs a few years ago. I met them, and you know, they're wonderful ladies, and they're outgoing, and they're kind of there to meet people and stuff. And I got to meet them, hang out with them a bit, and they invited me up to their songwriting workshop, the piece that they have in Peace River every year. So that was kind of our first opportunity of working together, and we've since written three or four songs, and they've recorded, I think, one or two of them on their last project, and we've even tried writing on Skype a little bit, which is kind of something that's starting to happen a little bit more in the songwriting community.
Yeah.
So, it's hard. It's kind of hard to sometimes keep in touch with people when I'm down here and they're in, you know, Alberta or Ontario, but, you know, Skype's kind of helping that out. So Peace River is a long way from Nashville, but we do some writing.
Yeah, Skype puts everybody face-to-face with the modern technology, and you're so sort of like you're in the same room, and you can write, and it's a pretty cool experience.
It is, and my first few experiences, I didn't really like it. I don't know if the technical, you know, did it freeze and all that kind of stuff. And,
right.
You know, it was a little bit aggravating, but so I kind of backed off. But the last couple of times I've written on Skype have been really, really worked out well, including I have a fellow that I used to write songs with all the time. And we've probably got 20 or 30 songs, and he's one of my favorite co-writers, Dwayne Steele. You know, Dwayne.
Right.
From Alberta. And so we haven't been able to write for many years, and we just wrote one on Skype about a week ago, and it was, as you said, just like he was in the room here, and the song turned out really well, so I think we'll be pursuing that a little further.
That's great. Yeah, Dwayne's another artist that I love, a great Canadian artist, and
yes,
had such
is.
A good string of hits, and I really like his voice.
He's got a wonderful voice. Yeah, he's got a classic country voice, in my opinion.
Yeah. Let's talk about your album, Back to Music from Big Beige, and
mm-hmm.
we've got sort of a humorous song to play, and then later on a more moving song. So
okay.
We'll start with a humorous one called Vaguely French. I love the
right.
title, and there's so many classic lines in it. How did you come up with this one, Tim?
Well, that's the kind of song that made me want to do the CD in the first place. It's just the kind of song that kind of pops out at me. I'm not, you know, sitting and trying to write for an artist or a project, but it just kind of happens when I'm shaving or walking the dog or something, you know, or it starts that way anyways. And
right.
So I kind of, and that one was kind of funny and had some kind of clever lines in it, so I just kind of pursued it that way and used a lot of phrases that you probably would never use if you were trying to write a song for mainstream radio or something like that. So
right.
it's a bit of a stretch. I think it's a little bit outside of the box, but as you said, it's got some funny lines.
Yeah, I think it'll make people smile, and it's really clever. Let's share it now. Tim Taylor, a brand new song off of Music from Big Beige. This is Vaguely French on In the Country.
She was vaguely French, intriguing and exotic, tastefully erotic. Somehow I got the sense she was vaguely French, coyly continental, almost drove me mental. The moment that we met, and there and then, I was swept up in a fantasy of her and me on a beach in Normandy, her sunning toplessly. She was vaguely French, didn't advertise it, just left me to surmise it. She was French to some extent. She was vaguely French, her accent slightly labored, but it worked well in her favor. One more clue to her descent. She was vaguely French the first time that I kissed her. I tasted just the whisper of foreign cigarettes. And once again, I was swept up in a fantasy of her and me on a beach in Normandy, her sunning toplessly. She was vaguely French, didn't advertise it, just left me to surmise it. She was French to some extent, vaguely French, by design or by descent. Vaguely French.
That's it. Cool song. So many great lines. One of them, when I kissed her in a whisper of foreign cigarettes. I love kissed her in a whisper of foreign cigarettes. Sounds so good.
Thank you. I was trying to think of the name of a French cigarette brand, and I didn't really know any, so I just ended up saying foreign cigarettes. Anyway. Yeah, it was a fun song to write, and it was one of those ones where I got to stretch out a little bit and just, you know, kind of go for it and use some rhymes that I wouldn't normally use. And so that's what came out.
Advertise it and surmise it. I mean, another great rhyme in there.
Exactly.
Now, is that a song that you think there's an artist for, or is that one is just kind of some fun you'll do yourself?
I think that is just, I think that was just for me. I can't imagine any other artist that might do that. If maybe it'd be close to maybe Jimmy Buffett or something, but he writes his own song. So.
But that is
stylistically, anyways. Yeah,
stylistically. Now, on that subject, do you have a song, Tim, or maybe a couple of them that you think are really right for an artist, and maybe you've got close to a certain artist as far as a pitch, but it's just one you're still waiting for, you're just hoping to get this song recorded by that artist?
Well, occasionally, I'll write a song. Most of the time, actually, I write with artists, you know, with a lot of independent artists. But so I usually have the person in mind that I'm writing the song with. So in that sense, I don't usually start out with pitches in mind. But sometimes, for whatever reason, if the person I write it with doesn't end up recording it, I'll have certain songs that I think would really suit certain people. And that's definitely true. You know, the hard part is getting it to those people and getting it recorded, but I do have songs I think, oh man, I wish so and so would, I can just hear so and so singing out.
Yeah.
I've got a few of those.
Nice.
For sure.
Well, let's turn to as I mentioned before, Thomas Wade talking about songwriting with you, and he talks about a couple of those songs. So let's hear that now. This is Thomas Wade on In the Country.
All right.
Now, when you went on to a solo career and had success with songs, for example, Running Away With You, the great hook, My Imagination Is Running Away With You, and that's got a great sound to it, almost like a classic kind of country sound. How did you come up with that song? What was the inspiration behind it?
Well, really, first of all, I guess that was that's a co-write with Tim Taylor, and Tim is the consummate writer. You know, he's constantly got ideas, and I would regularly go down and write with Tim. And the other element for me is it's kind of a snapshot of my life, you know, and you know, it happened to resonate with you know, something I was living at the time.
Right.
And so I kind of worked together that way. And I think the other element is that, you know, he and I both have a great love of classic country music. And
yeah.
And a great, you know, even though I've kind of been a lot more known for my edgy kind of pushing it side, which I love to do it whenever I can. But the truth of it is, you know, country's, you know, right in my bones. And so him and I, you know, on that level, we're writing this song, and it was a really easy write. It was a very quick write. I'm sure it didn't take more than half an hour, 45 minutes.
Now, did you go into the writing session with that hook, "My imagination is running away with you," as opposed to "me," which the saying is? Is that how it all started, or did that
You know,
fall,
I think that's
afterwards?
Exactly how it started, but it was him.
Yeah.
He had the hook, I'm pretty
okay.
sure. And, like, knowing Tim, Tim wouldn't have missed that. He wouldn't have missed the significance of that. Like, he wouldn't have come in with "my imagination's running away with me." He would never have done that. That's exactly
right.
What Tim would have done, is he would have had the hook already put to bed. Although, Tim and I have done one of the most miraculous things that you can possibly do, which is, not to break, but I'm going to break. Usually when you write a song and the hook is what it is, and you write the entire song and it's finished,
right.
That's it. You're stuck, right? Well, we wrote a song called "She's Getting Practical." And we had the whole song finished. And we sat with it, and then I just said, man, "Practical" just doesn't sing. You know, no matter how I try, I cannot get that song to sound good when I sing the chorus.
Right.
And then we came up with "She's Getting Serious."
And there's a couple of stories behind the songs, writing with Tim.
That's funny.
So
yeah. Well, first of all, what a nice guy to be so complimentary. He's just such a talent, and it's, you know, like I said, it's always wonderful when Thomas and I do get to write. We kind of great minds think alike, and we always come up with something, but it's true. I thought it was "She's Getting Practical," but I think I was hearing it more like a punk rocker or something. "She's getting practical."
That is too funny. Now, speaking of that, do you ever write in different styles? Do you stretch, do anything along the jazz line, or, you know, or do you ever foresee writing for a different genre?
Well, it's always wonderful for me when somebody comes who says, well, you know, I kind of like this. And if it's a little outside of the box of the straight country, it's always a pleasure for me, because there are so many styles of music that I enjoy, and to get to write them is just a real treat. And even on my own little CD, I think, you know, I have definite country roots, but I love 60s British pop music, and I like R&B music from the 60s, and I'm starting to like jazz more all the time. And so, you know, I really like it when those things do come out a little bit in the writing. And like I said, when
right.
I do get an opportunity to write in some of those styles, it's always a treat.
Yeah. And who are some of the artists from those genres and country music, whatever the genre is, who are some of the ones as you were growing up that you really got hooked on and maybe thought you'd imitate the style, or at least really appreciated their sound?
Well, as far as country, I mean, I was first aware of it. It was people like Buck Owens and Tammy Wynette and all those people, you know, 60s kind of country music, which I to this day love. And when I was performing a lot in the 70s and 80s, there were people around like Vern Gosden and Dwight Yoakam and stuff like that. So it was very inspiring. It was great music. And then in the pop thing, it was, of course, the Beatles were the first big thing for me. But it wasn't just the Beatles. It was all the other British bands that came out at that time, the Searchers and Manfred Mann and all that stuff. I was totally into that as a teenager. And 60s R&B, the music like the people like Otis Redding and stuff like that was huge music. And kind of when I went to high school dances, that's what we were dancing to. So I love that music too. So So those are kind of the genres and the people that I guess are most influential. But I'm hearing new stuff all the time that in bluegrass or jazz or even old school blues, Muddy Waters and stuff like that. There's
sure.
just so much great music out there, and I really enjoy all of it. And YouTube has made so much of that accessible. You can just type in a name, and it's just all this world of music is right at your fingertips. Yep,
I'll sit at YouTube
that.
And I'll watch an Alabama video, and that'll lead to this and that, and I mean you
exactly.
can just spend hours.
next thing you know, 2 hours are gone. But it's well spent.
It is, yeah. It's so great to be able to do that. Now, when did you first pick up the guitar, Tim, and take a liking to that?
I picked up the guitar when I was about 12. My first instruments were actually, I took violin lessons when I was about 11 or so, and when the Beatles came out, I bought a set of drums really quickly. I got those drums. And I have an older brother who went to work in Newfoundland one time for the summer when I was about 12, and he came home with a guitar he'd bought in Newfoundland, and I played that for a very short while, and then I bought one from the Eaton's catalog, an electric guitar, and the rest is history, man. That was about 12, I guess, when I picked up the guitar. Pretty much self-taught.
And there was
a group.
Yeah.
I was pretty much self-taught. There was a guy up the street who I took about 2 or 3 lessons, learned a Ventures song and stuff from him, but basically just stuff I picked up, yeah.
And when you were younger, I just can't recall the name at the moment, but there was a group that you were part of first?
Well, it was back when I was in high school, everybody was in a group, and your group was kind of your homies. But so I started out playing with some guys. My first professional band was called Buckshot. We went on the road and played the bar circuit, mostly around Ontario. So that was my first pro, when I considered myself turning professional. It was Buckshot.
Buckshot. Can you think back to maybe one of the first songs you wrote, Tim, or maybe the first song you wrote that you thought, I think I've got the hang of this, and you the song really turned out well, and you took the time to perfect it and edit it, and you really felt you were on the right track?
Well, the first song I ever wrote was for a project in high school. It was just in English class. It was just do something creative. You could write a poem or whatever. And I was had my little high school band going. We were called Wild Otis at that time. And we got out a tape recorder, and we recorded a song that I wrote for my project. So I guess that's the first time that I ever, sat down and said, oh, there's a complete song. And it was country. It was a very country song. And I still know it to this day, although I'm not going to sing it for you. But
okay, we can't tempt you to sing it.
So, yeah, that's the first time I realized, hey, I guess I can do this, and it was I enjoyed it, and it's just something that's part of singing and playing for me is actually, making up your own songs.
Yeah. Can you narrow down? I mean, there's so many songs you've written, and this is a really hard question, but is there a favorite song you've got or one that stands out for whatever reason that you got a certain fondness for?
I don't know if I could do, get that specific. I have so many songs. I have a special place for a song. The first song that won the CCMA Song of the Year Award for me back in the 80s called One Smoky Rose that Anita recorded. So that was a really, at the time that was very exciting to win the award and all that stuff. So that one will always have a special place in my heart, I'm sure.
Turn back to music from Big Bass, the new album which you produced and played all the instruments. Of course, all the vocals are yours.
Mm-hmm.
The song, fourth track on it, is Cecilia, written by you and Brett Kissel. What do you want to tell us about Brett and share about the song? It's a really, really touching song.
Well, thank you. Brett, as you know, is a really talented young artist from Alberta, and I've known him since he was, I guess, 12 or so. But he's, of course, he's a grown man now, and he's married, and his wife is named Cecilia. But when we wrote the song Cecilia, she was still just his girlfriend. Yeah, we just wanted to write a nice romantic song for his girlfriend at the time, even though I'd never met her. But so we wrote that song, and I really like the song. I know Brett does too, and I know Cecilia does, of course. But
yeah.
When I came around to putting my CD together, it was just one that felt really natural for me to sing, and it's got a little bit more of that almost, I think, more of a pop British Invasion style to it. So I enjoyed singing it and putting it on there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, it's a real pretty song. Let's share it now. Tim Taylor and Cecilia on In the Country.
Well, I've tried and I've tried to describe how I feel when I see you, Cecilia. But I find that the words that I find don't define you at all. Maybe I'll just give up trying and let your sweet love take me home. In your arms where I belong, to see you. I don't guess that I've ever been blessed like I am when I'm with you. And you're there everywhere that I go, even when we're apart. Then when we're back together, I let your sweet love take me home. In your arms where I belong, Cecilia. There'll come a day someday that I'll never have to leave you again. Oh, my Cecilia, I guess I'll just have to miss you till then. Then when we're back together, I'll let your sweet love take me home. In your arms where I belong, Cecilia. Oh, my Cecilia.
And that is Cecilia, sung by my guest, Tim Taylor, and written along with Brett Kissel. And Tim, you can find Tim online at timtaylormusic.com. And how do our listeners go about getting a copy of the CD, Tim?
Well, they can actually go on my website that you just mentioned, timtaylormusic.com, and download the songs for free if they'd like to. I've set it up so that is an option. So you can just grab anything you like there and download it onto your computer or whatever. So that is one way to do it. I do have, of course, I have got copies of the CD here, and there's also an address on my website where you can get in touch with me about having me mail one off to you. So that's the two main ways you could do that, or drop by here at the house, if you're in Nashville, give me a call.
That's awesome. Give Tim a call when you're in Nashville. Because you do, I noticed on your website, you do mentoring. So I guess if there's somebody out there serious, whether they're an artist or songwriter who's pursuing this, they can give
right.
you a shout.
I would love that. I've had the opportunity to do some workshops and some individual stuff with people as well. And it's very gratifying for me. And I know they always feel like that it's worth their while. So that is definitely something they can check out on my website as well.
What are some of the things you see with a new writer? Maybe the word isn't mistakes, but things that they're not doing right away, that they haven't got the craft, or what are some of the things they're learning as they go?
Well, I think especially in the country music genre, they have to learn that every word and every line is important and must feed back to the hook and the main idea of the song. I know for a lot of writers, when you're starting out, you get a nice melody and the words are going along, and you find a line and you maybe just fill it in with something that sounds good and sings well, but it really has to support what you're trying to say, because you don't have time to go off on little tangents and stuff like that. And the other thing I really notice with young writers is new writers is how focused you have to remain on what you're doing. You know, it's a real matter of just grabbing that one thing and just holding on to it till you've got it right where it's supposed to be. So I know it could be a little exhausting for people when they're first writing to really concentrate like that, but I think they're always happy in the end that the product is a well-crafted song.
Right, and that is the end result and the end game. And a part of that, of course, is taking the time and having the patience to rewrite, because not everything you write the first time you can leave in cement and say, okay, that's perfect just because it's written. So do you do that as well? Do you take the time and go back and rewrite until you feel you've got it just right?
Most definitely. Quite often, if somebody comes here for a writing session, we will get a song in a day. In fact, I think more often than not, we'll get a song in a day. But there is always going back, just letting it kind of ferment in your subconscious for a while and going back. And you always see something that, well, why did we say that? Why didn't we say this? So rewriting is very important,
right,
especially if somebody is going to invest the money in recording a song, because each song costs a lot of money to record. So if it's going to go that far, if they're going to take that step, I think it's really important to do a rewrite and make sure that it's as good as it can possibly be.
Now, for somebody out there who feels that they've got the song to that point and it's as good as it can be, as far as a demo goes, what do you recommend for them to do? To spend a lot of money? I mean, I have heard with up-tempo songs, you
right.
want to really flesh those out so you got a full record. If it's a ballad, slower song, you can get away with maybe a piano or a guitar demo, simple production.
Well, yes, and the I guess it all depends on what the purpose of your demo is. If you plan to be the artist who records the song, of course you don't need to take it to a complete demo to play it for your producer.
Right.
Hopefully your producer will get the idea of what you're going for. If it's an outside pitch, there's kind of this is the old question, this is like a debate, you'll always go, truthfully, you will take it to people, to a producer or a publisher, to say, oh, I just need the guitar vocal or the piano vocal, I can hear it. But then you'll go listen to the demos they make to pitch to artists, and if they've got the money, they'll put the full production in. So, it's expensive, too, and you can't, if you write 100 songs a year or whatever, or even 10 songs a year,
yeah,
it's you can't be doing a 2,000-hour demo. No, so, because it is a gamble. There's no guarantee that you are going to get that song cut. So it's a real balancing act, and I don't really think there's an answer to that one. I've got my little recording set up here, so I'll mostly just do guitar vocals. It was rare for me to do the drums and all that stuff like I did for my own CD. That was more fun than anything, but I mostly just do guitar vocals unless my co-writer works with a publishing company and they want to go, the extra mile with it, then I will, pitch in my part. But as a rule, I don't do that on every song by any means.
Now, where do you come up with all your hooks? I mean, so many different songs you write, and I know there's always different places, but can you sort of take us through is it when you're driving? Is it late at night? Something in the newspaper?
I actually, when somebody comes here to write with me, I've actually got a little file on my computer of just titles and ideas, and it's crazy. It's like 5 pages long now, and when somebody comes, I love it if they bring me some ideas, and we just bat ideas back and forth, and that's a way, it gets the creative juices flowing, and we very seldom, you know, write the first one that we talk about, or sometimes we'll talk about 10 and go back to the first one. I think I can't encourage people enough to try and compile some titles. And most of mine, when I say titles, I mean just short phrases or whatever. It doesn't
sure.
necessarily being the actual title, but just little ideas. And I get them. I get them everywhere. Basically, most of them come just directly, you know, into my head when I'm thinking. You know,
but they just stumble in there.
Yeah, they stumble in there. I know some people recommend, you know, looking at movie titles and stuff. I've never really done that so much, but I read as much as I can. I love reading novels and things, and occasionally I'll see a phrase in a novel that will spark an idea. You know,
yeah.
So I encourage people to read as much as possible too. It just kind of exercises that word part of your brain, and that's important to a writer. Unless you're writing instrumentals, but if you're writing songs with words, I think, you know, the more you're around words, the better it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. You get immersed in it, and it sort of becomes second nature to,
exactly.
to work and move them around. Nashville, of course, you're living there now, originally from Canada. How strongly would you recommend a new artist or songwriter going to Nashville, whether they move there or not, but at least taking trips to Nashville to get into the craft and magic?
Yeah, I totally would recommend it. And like you said, not necessarily move here, but we mentioned earlier about writing, about focusing and realizing how important every line is. I think any writer who comes here and goes out to a few writers' nights, goes to the Bluebird or some of the other rounds, and hears some of the writers that are trying to break in, they'll realize how seriously people are working at that. And I think it's a real inspiration. Same thing for singers. I think if you're a great singer, or you aspire to be one, and you come here and you realize how many good singers there are, it makes you try harder. So in that sense, I think Nashville is a very inspiring place. There's so many people, I know so many people from Canada come down and they say, man, I thought I was the only person who wanted to do this. You know, in my hometown, I'm the only guy doing this, and I thought I was weird, you know. And they come here and they realize that they're not weird. There's lots of people want to do it. So it's affirming in that way, too.
Definitely. And, yeah, it's great when I talk to different artists on the show and hearing. I mean, it's a passion for what they do. I mean, they're not in it for money or those kind of bigger goals, maybe down the road, but it's the passion. They love the music.
Well, I think it's important to, you know, to start there and to love the music. And if that takes you somewhere else, that's fine. And if it doesn't, I'd hate to think in 5 years you look back and said, oh, I was a failure because I didn't become a big star. But if you can look back over 5 years and say, hey, I did what I loved for 5 years, you know, it's hard to be a failure when you look at it that way. So music is definitely the core of this whole thing, and a love of music. And that's what keeps me going. I've been doing it a long time now, but that's what keeps me in the game. So
yeah,
that's where it started. And, yep, it sure does.
It's been a real pleasure talking to you, Tim, and listening to the album. As I said, I've been listening to it as I've been driving around and really enjoying the songs. Got to share a couple on the show. And just thanks so much for taking the time and sharing the stories.
Well, thank you, Dave. And you're one of the first people that I've sent it to. So I'm really encouraged by you taking this time with me. And I appreciate it. And I just want to say thank you and keep up the great show. I know there's more and more people listening all the time, and it's really taken off. So congratulations on that.
Thank you, Tim. I really appreciate those great words. My guest tonight has been singer-songwriter Tim Taylor. The new album is Music from Big Beige, and you can hit and, as Tim mentioned, download some of the songs for free at timtaylormusic.com. You can read up on some of the other adventures and songwriting that Tim does. I'm Dave Woods. It's been another big night in the country.